in addition to having one of the best names I have ever known, Stefan Bumbawa was also the sexton of my first congregation. Mr. Bumbawa had served as St. Paul's sexton for more than 40 years when I arrived, fresh out of seminary, 27 years old and full of myself. An immigrant from Czechoslovakia in the late 1930s, Mr. Bumbawa worked in the Mallory Hat Factory, right around the corner from the church, from the day he arrived in Danbury until the day the factory closed in the late 1970s. But his true love throughout those years was the church and his work there. Now, it was a pretty good-sized facility, St. Paul's. Had a big building, including a full-size gymnasium. There was not a place, not a corner, not a nook or cranny anywhere in that building that was not perfectly clean. You could eat off, you could literally eat off any surface in that building. Mr. Bumbawa kept it that clean. Although he worked, I think, officially 15 hours a week, he essentially lived in the building. He had an apartment across the street, which he really never hung out in. He hung out in the church. We had some hedges right out in front of the church. He was very concerned about those hedges. There was a problem with kids in the neighborhood who, after school, would frequently run through those bushes. Not long after I arrived there, my study was right across the sidewalk from a little side door in the church building. I was at my desk, and I noticed the door, the side door in the church, open just a crack. And I thought, oh, somebody must have popped that door open. And just as I was getting up to go close it, the door flew open. And Mr. Bumbawa, who was about that tall, came running out with a broom, chasing the kids who had run through his bushes. And he chased them down the street with his broom. The kids, of course, knew this. Yeah. Mr. Bumbawa was very devoted to St. Paul's. Not long after I arrived there, I started a bilingual Bible study on Wednesday mornings and did this trying to invite as many people in this trilingual congregation to engage in the study of God's Word as possible. Mr. Bumbawa, who was always in the building, never came to the Bible study. Never, ever. He would be putzing around the church something, you know, cleaning something. He'd be putzing something. The Bible study would be going. After probably 6 months or so, I worked up the courage to say to Mr. Bumbawa, you know, Mr. Bumbawa, we have this Bible study on Wednesday mornings. How come you never come? You're always welcome to come. And he said to me something like, Pastor, my English is not very good, and your Slovak is not very good. So I won't get much out of the Bible study. But doesn't it say somewhere in the Bible that we're supposed to keep the church that Jesus died for spotless? And it's my job to keep the church spotless. And it's your job to teach the Bible. I'm glad you got that, Doug. Because I didn't for a long time. I can't help but remember Mr. Bumbawa when I hear today's famous story from Luke's Gospel. Indeed, that conversation with him about roles in the community helps me at least sometimes keep this story straight. In this part of the Gospel, Luke tells a cluster of stories that present Jesus' teaching on the way. Luke's aim, I think, is to offer practical instruction about the difficult task of living together as Christian community, as we follow Jesus on the way. There's nothing easy about it. We hear this cluster, we hear a cluster of stories. We hear this cluster over three Sundays, last week, this morning, and next Sunday. Last Sunday's encounter with the lawyer, you remember, sets the context with a discussion of observing Torah and inheriting an eternal life. When the lawyer asks, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus tells the famous parable, about loving and serving the neighbor. Today's exchanges with Martha and Mary deal with the priorities of serving and hearing the Word of God. And next week, the cluster concludes with Jesus' instructions on prayer, shamelessly confident prayer, as an essential ingredient in living together. So, today's Gospel. Jesus and his entourage continue their journey to Jerusalem. They enter a village where a woman named Martha welcomes Jesus into her home. As Martha goes about all the tasks that are a part of good hospitality, her younger sister Mary sits at the feet of Jesus the whole time, listening, what Luke says, listening to the Lord's word. After a while, Martha gets sick of doing all the work. And she says, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help." So there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on in this simple exchange. These are women. One of these women behaves according to her role in exemplary fashion. The other does not. How will Jesus respond? Jesus commends the woman who, in his presence, forgets all about society's expectations. Forgets all about society's expectations of a woman. Martha welcomes Jesus into her home, but Jesus welcomes women into the dignity of learning by welcoming women into the role of student of God's word, a role hitherto limited to men. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be ripped away from her. The new human community growing through God's strange dominion is egalitarian, in the best sense of that word. But remember, this vignette is the second in a cluster of three. If the lawyer in the preceding story was taken to task for trying to decide whom he did not have to treat as a neighbor, these words of Jesus to Martha correct those who try to make their form of service obligatory for everybody else, because both are forms of self-justification. Both are forms of religious self-concern. So this story about Martha and Mary is all too often read in isolation from the other stories around it, and the result is to turn the meaning of the story inside out so that women who have so often traditionally been told to fulfill their Christian vocation by serving then hear Jesus criticizing Martha's concern for serving. That's completely an upside down interpretation of the story. The story of the lawyer and the exchange with Martha are inseparable, because the concern Jesus addresses in both encounters is the slow poison of self-justification. Jesus comes, in part, in deep measure, to liberate us from religious self-absorption. in Christ. We are freed from religion. We are freed from religion so that we may be free for God, to enjoy God, and abandon ourselves along Christ's way. We are free to feed and be fed, to serve and be served, to love and be loved, for we have nothing to prove before God. Mr. Bumbala understood that in ways that I did not. For me, engagement with God's Word through Bible study and other means had become the mark of a good Christian, a devoted Christian. Mr. Bumbala, I think, understood that Christ at work among us and in us is the only mark that counts. The freedom to be who we are in Christ is the one thing needful, a treasure not even religion itself can take away from us. In Christ's name. Amen.